Listen, I'm excited. I'm so thankful you're here. I know one young lady told me today that I was her favorite preacher, and she was coming all the way from Lexington, Kentucky, just to hear me preach tonight. Where is she? Clacy? Oh, there you are. Yeah. So glad you're here. Sorry you got to go back to Lexington tonight, but we'll make it good. To quote my mother, I'm big time. God is so good, and he's so challenging to us, isn't he? That what we really have made the most hectic time of the year, we have these four experiences of Advent, and this one's peace. I mean, in the midst of all the craziness. The other day, I just want to order a gift. You know, we're in a technological age. You don't even have to go to the store anymore. And people talk about how easy it is now, right? You don't even have to leave your house. You know, you got the internet and the phone. I think there's other things, but, you know, you got those things anyway. And so I thought, I'm going to do this. And so I know what I want to get. So I called the number, and there's a few rings, and then there's this. If you called to order a gift, press 1 now. And I'm thinking, well, of course I called to order a gift. I mean, that one's not even necessary, but, you know, I press 1. If you're going to order multiple gifts, press 2. If you're ordering one gift, press 1. And I'm thinking, well, what if I want 7? Do I? So anyway, I press 2, you know, and then the next one. If you would like the gift wrapped, press 2 now, right? And this goes on forever. And I get to like the 6th or 7th one, and I make a mistake. Do you ever do that? You know, you're on the phone, I press the wrong button. I'm like, and so, you know, it says to go back, and I go back, and it says, if you're calling to order a gift, press, and I'm, what? Seriously? So I don't know how much time goes, but I am so frustrated. I could have been to Dillard's and back 5 times, right? And so finally, a real person gets on the phone and says, thank you so much for calling. How can I help you? And I'm just aggravated. I don't even want a gift now. Nobody's getting anything from me for Christmas at this point. But I say to the person, if you would like me to order a gift, press 1 now. And I hung up. And in the midst of this craziness, you know, we're told to be at peace, to have peace. And obviously that little story really is a dumb one because there's other things this time of year especially that cause us, you know, so much heartache, loss that we had been through and we had worked through. It's this time of the year that brings back the sting of those losses, doesn't it? And we're reminded of people that aren't here, going to be here for this Christmas season. Maybe we're here last time. And in the midst of all that, God is saying to have peace. Tonight, I want to tell you about a person in the Bible that I think is just highly underrated, highly overlooked, and yet who may just stand as the model of the peace of God. It's somebody you've heard of, you're familiar with. We really only hear about him this time of year. But there's this guy, his name's Joseph, right? Raise your hand if you're familiar with Joseph. Joseph. Let me tell you some things that I don't think we hear much about this story, because I mean, you know the gist of the story, right? They're not officially married yet, but she's, this is when I was practicing it, you would respond when I do this, but she's pregnant, right? And so that's tough, you know, and that's difficult, you know, but all of us probably all of us are thinking, you know, but they've been dating for a while. They know each other. They've been to the movies. They've been out to eat. I mean, you know, we put it in that context, but they know each other. And he probably just, he knew her. He had a trust in her. Do you know that it is very likely that Joseph and Mary had only been around each other 3 or 4 times before this? I mean, I want you to think about you know, what would happen in marriage, you know, in this era of time. That one, Mary probably didn't pick Joseph. Have you ever thought about that? And that Joseph didn't pick Mary, probably. It's very likely that at this time, it was those Jewish parents who had decided long ago that if y'all have a son and we have a daughter, they'll get married. I mean, how romantic is that? And it's funny because all the single people right now, if you could see what I'm seeing, all the single people are like, oh, that's horrible. And everybody's married's like, that might have been a lot better. Had it been that way, it couldn't have been worse. I mean, I see your face. I feel your pain. Now, here's the thing. I mean, that's very likely that that was the case. So you can't even write this story off as, well, Joseph knew her enough that he trusted her. He didn't probably know her at all. I mean, the rules of etiquette were so different than they are now, because they probably had met each other several times. But let me tell you this. They probably hadn't even shaken hands. You know, there was no hug. I mean, how many of you have walked into church and just since the time you've been here, you've been hugged no less than, you know, five times? Raise your hand. If you wish you had been hugged more, just stand up and stay there. No. So you see what I'm saying? Because I think that's how we think of the story. Well, you know, they've been dating for a while. They knew each other. And Joseph, when she said, I've got good news and bad news, right? I do this with my kids all the time at home. It's a big joke. I've got good news and bad news. And I can see Mary saying, Joseph, I have good news and I have bad news. And Joseph says, well, what's the good news? She goes, well, the good news is the Lord has spoken to me. And Joseph's like, oh, that's awesome. That is good news. What did he say? And she said, well, that's the bad news. I'm pregnant. But I think we gloss over this so much. Because he has nothing to base any kind of trust for her on. And there wasn't such a deep love on his part. Well, I've been with her so long, you know, she's probably telling me the truth, but I just can't be without her. I mean, that's unknown in that culture. You ever met somebody? I just can't be without them. I always think that's a first sign. You shouldn't marry them if you can't be without them, because there'll be a time when they don't want to be with you. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that. It wasn't an infatuation with her. It wasn't a history of love and trust that they had built together, because that probably didn't even exist. Matter of fact, the story says, and you get a real peek at Joseph's character in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, does everybody know what that means? Before they came together, you know, bear with me. They hadn't. I think the Bible's specific there. It's wanting us to know this story. Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, because when you were betrothed, when you were, this betrothal was an engagement, but your official title, once you were officially betrothed, when you were officially engaged, your title was husband and wife, although it wasn't official yet. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I'm going to tell you, that passage right there tells us something about Joseph's character. Something powerful. You know, adultery in this time was an offense whose penalty could be capital punishment. Could be death, right? And Joseph, you know, could have had enough pride, enough ego that he would have wanted everybody to know. hey, here's the deal. She's pregnant. I've seen her 3 times. I haven't shaken her hand. I've not been with her. She's pregnant. Joseph could have done that. Nobody would have been upset at Joseph for doing that except Mary, right? Obviously, God wouldn't have been pleased with that. I mean, Joseph could have done that. But the Bible tells us he wasn't going to make a public spectacle of her. And whatever he thought in his mind about how she became pregnant, he wasn't going to do something that would put her in a dishonorable light. That is a powerful thing. And let me tell you something. If you're here tonight and you are single, that is a trait you should be looking for. Somebody who wouldn't do anything to bring you any kind of dishonor. You know, that's why we talk about here all the time that God created sex for marriage, right? And outside of marriage, it cannot be honorable. It can't be. You have to dishonor the other person to engage in sexual activity outside of marriage. That's not the kind of person you want, because if they're willing to dishonor you before marriage, let me help you. They'll have no problem dishonoring you after. But Joseph doesn't want to bring dishonor to Mary. And maybe he's thinking there's already enough there. So he just has in mind to divorce her quietly. This is a powerful thing. But listen to what happens. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The Bible says all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So God speaks this powerful word to Joseph. And you know what's awesome? It wasn't an unfamiliar word. It wasn't a word that Joseph had never heard before. You know, Joseph is Jewish, right? And so what do we know about Jewish children? At a very early age, they learn the Old Testament, don't they? I mean, they know it, right? And he had heard those words before. The words the angels spoke were not new words to him, but those words now had a new meaning. You see, I'm sure when Joseph was a child, he had read out of the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Joseph, he had heard those words before. They weren't new words. Those words weren't a revelation. He had heard them from God before. And however distraught Joseph may have been, and I promise you that he was, and then granted, I've already said, it may not have been out of, you know, the loss of a relationship, because there probably hadn't been much of one, but there were all these things that went with it. These families had arranged this marriage. And for this marriage not to happen, not to come to fruition, there was shame in that. And Joseph had to be just a flood of emotion, wondering what to do, thinking, I'll divorce her quietly, wondering what to do. And then God speaks this powerful word to him. And I'm going to tell you, this is why it is so important that we spend time in God's word, because there's going to come a time when God speaks those words back to us. And the words will mean something to us different than they've ever meant before. And that's what happens. The angel tells Joseph, this thing that has happened, it's of God, Joseph. Don't be afraid. Take her as your wife. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, right? The name that is above all names. These things, Joseph remembers them. And what happens in that moment is Joseph has a peace that is from God. Because, I mean, think about this story. You know, let's put ourselves in their shoes. Because just you and that other person working out the situation, that's one thing, right? But there's something about pregnancy that keeps it from staying hidden, isn't there? I'm just asking. I've never been pregnant myself. But time comes, doesn't it? Time passes, and pretty soon, and there's got to be an explanation. How in the world? What is going on? And does God tell Joseph, hey, all that will be okay? Does God say, Joseph, everybody will know this is Jesus. Everybody will know this is the Son of God. Does God say that? Is that the peace that God offers Joseph? It's not, is it? He gives him no explanation for that. And that means there's going to be a lot of people who have a lot to say about the kind of girl Joseph's with and the kind of girl that Mary really is. And God doesn't answer all those questions, and he doesn't give a piece about what the crowds think. He just tells Joseph, Joseph, this thing, it is of God. Take her to be your wife. And since we know there'll be naysayers and there'll be people who will doubt it, who will question it, people who will just say, absolutely, what are you talking about? She's a crazy liar, Joseph. Run. God says, everything you need, I will give. Everything you need, I will give. And we see what I think is a display of peace that really all of us long for. That in the midst of chaos, you know, my chaos this week was not being able to easily order a gift. I can't imagine the chaos Joseph and Mary had to deal with. And yet in the midst of that, God brings this peace. But there's something that happens, and I certainly tonight don't want to give it to you as some kind of spiritual formula if you will follow this, but I think the principle is there, and that is this: the angel came to Mary and spoke to Mary, and Mary took that word. She received that word, right? And she just believed God. And the angel came to Joseph and likewise spoke to him. And he received that word. And as a result of them hearing from God and receiving the word that God spoke to them, what followed was this peace that maybe we would say surpasses all understanding. And I think that's the peace that we long for. That's a peace that we long for. Because ultimately, it's the only thing that satisfies. You think about the most difficult things you've had to deal with in life. And if you are like me, the thing that I pray for all the way through that, I don't know what you pray for, but the thing I pray for all the way through that is, God, help me to understand why this has happened. Help me to understand what this means. Oh, God, just give me understanding, because it's as if I think that if I have the understanding, then what will naturally follow is peace, right? And yet the Bible promises a peace that surpasses understanding, because the truth is, I mean, the things in your life, the things in my life that have been difficult to deal with, the things that we still don't understand, I think the truth is if instead of the peace, God gave us the explanation, I think most of us would be thoroughly dissatisfied with God's explanation. Because we don't understand the mind of God. We don't see how all of it connects. And so this promise, because if you had to choose between a promise that says, here's a peace that surpasses all understanding, or here's perfect understanding in all things, we would only have the wisdom to choose the peace after we had the perfect understanding as to why everything happens. And we'd realize that the understanding doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring comfort. And so what God says, don't trust in the explanation. Trust me. I'm here. You can trust me. I am with you. Right? Isn't that incredible? Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, that's what he says. I am with you. And so whatever you're going through, you may not understand it, but know this. I am with you through it. And I'll give you a peace that surpasses understanding. It's amazing. And this part of the story, you know, the greatest story ever told, we see God give Joseph a peace. And understanding even more about the story and about how typically marriages were arranged and how there wasn't this history of love and trust that Mary and Joseph had built that would have kept them together. Only God could have done what was done. Joseph couldn't have got a peace about the situation from anywhere else, not from Mary, not from her family, not from her friends. That peace could have only come from God. And God knew that Joseph needed that peace. And God gave it to him. It's a powerful thing. I'm trying to learn as I get older to not pray for understanding as much as I would pray for peace. That God would bring that peace. That my trust in something that happens in my life that I don't understand, my trust through that reveals what I really believe about God. And it reveals the depth or lack thereof of my satisfaction in Him. I don't know if you remember the old hymn, "I Am Satisfied." I used to not like the hymn because I didn't think satisfied was a strong enough word. You know, like I'm totally fulfilled, or yeah, I don't know, what would you say? God completes me, or you know, something. But I'm satisfied. Because when I'm satisfied, I don't need anything else. And so my trust in Him through those difficult times, my leaning on His peace reveals what I really believe about Him. And the depth of my satisfaction in Him. I want to tell you tonight that this story is true. This happened. I mean, these things actually took place. And I believe that all the way to my bones. I believe that. That these things happened and that God did this. That He's Emmanuel, God with us, because without Him, we have no hope. Without Him, there is no peace. Everything's just random and purposeless. But in God, there's order in everything. And there's a purpose for everything. Believe that. The Bible teaches that. But the Bible doesn't say that we will understand the purpose. The Bible doesn't say we'll understand how it all works together. But it does promise a peace that surpasses understanding. And so if you're in the midst of that, oh, what we desperately need is to hear from God. For Him to speak to us these powerful things. God telling Joseph, this thing that's happened, oh, it's of God. It's of God, Joseph. You don't see it now. You don't understand it. But trust me. I am there. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you've never invited Him to come into your life to forgive you of your sin. The Bible says that He's faithful and just. And if you do that, He will forgive you. He will save you. He will do that. His blood was shed so that our sin could be forgiven. And I'm going to tell you, whatever semblance of peace we had before Christ, it's nothing compared to the peace that we have in Christ. And so tonight, if you've never invited Him to come into your life, I would plead with you to do that tonight. To be the Lord of your life. to be your Savior, to trust that He can truly, truly forgive you, to trust that all the things we've tried to bring peace into our life that are failed, He brings true peace, a genuine peace. Because if the peace you have comes because you now have understanding, that's not peace, that's rationale, that's logic. But peace, that's when I don't see it all, and I don't understand, but I trust Him anyway. And He gets me through it. Oh, that's peace. I want to invite you to come to this altar tonight. And maybe some of us come in all these prayers we've had for understanding. Maybe tonight our prayers for peace. The thing God promised that He wanted to give us anyway. The God I've trusted in so many things, and they've all failed, but I want to trust in You. Lord, we come to You tonight. And we just thank You for who You are. And Lord, I pray that tonight would be a night of salvation. Lord, I thank You for these words that the angel spoke to Joseph. Words that he was already familiar with. Words that he had already heard before. But now those words would come to mean so much to him. Speak to us that way tonight, God. Speak to our hearts. Lord, as some of us come with heavy hearts, going through difficult things, things that we don't understand, oh, I pray for peace. So speak to us, Lord. Speak powerfully to us tonight. It's in Your name we pray. Let's stand together. This altar is open. I want to invite you to come. Don't wait for anybody else. Just step out. You come tonight.